Well, I just want to thank God. We're in a spirit of thanks and praise. And November, I hope you will embrace this teaching. I really believe if you watch as we are a part of history unfolding, and no matter what's going on, you're a part of history unfolding. Okay, there's no way to prevent being a part of history what? Unfolding. That's just part of life. And as our history unfolds, you're really going to have a choice. And I will tell you this, and I just kind of want to prepare you for it. If you're going to believe in Jesus, that's going to have some consequences. In less than a decade, it'll have some real consequences. You know, and really that's a good thing. Really, that's a really good thing, because really you're going to have to decide, are you going to magnify God in your life? Or are you really just going to kind of hang out at church? You know, get a little Jesus on the side. It's like, here's what I'm really asking you guys to do. You need to make Jesus the meal of your life instead of the appetizer. And a lot of people got Jesus, he like a wing or, you know, one of them jalapeno poppers, you know, he just kind of, every once in a while I'm going to get around Jesus, and he needs to be the substance of who we are. Amen. So I want you to think about something. If you come as a believer in Jesus Christ today, you know, I'm really praying, and I want you all to grasp hold of this, because God's going to do something big in here. And I want you to hear what's going on this morning. People have come to Christ in the 8 o'clock service, the 9:30 service, and there's been a spirit of renewal. Okay, I do not apologize that we were late to the 11 o'clock service, because God was doing some things at the altar. And you're in a church. Watch this. We kind of have like suggested service times. We'd like to get started at 8. I don't know when God's going to finish that one. We'd like to get started around 9:30. And if God's got to do something, we're going to let God do that something. Amen. And so I want you to know, I want you to be alert today. How many of y'all are ready to be alert? You need to be alert to the things of God. All right, because a lot of you believe in Jesus here. You know, it's pretty cool. I'm thankful. You know, a little selfish thanks here. I've seen a lot of you all in the baptismal waters. Now you got another question. I've been changed by God, so I have to declare the life that is within me. So, you know, I'm going to step it up on you a little bit. The Lord Jesus Christ has changed you all. Amen. He's changed us. We're in this thing together. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I was in the back of the church worshiping in this service, and I like to go to the back of the church. When I was called to preach, I was in the back seat of the balcony. You know, I wanted enough of Jesus to make sure I was going to heaven, but I didn't want to get too involved. Amen? You know, and then I was kind of scared of God when I went to church, because church fell at a bad time. It was after Saturday night, and that was just a little too close to things that had gone on. You know what I mean? I wish church could have been on Monday. At least you'd had 24 hours clearance, you know. And there were times I was sitting in church, I was like, oh gosh, my head hurts. Had a headache. Sunday school brought it on. You know, and I was like, God knows me. And He knows what I'm up to. But then there was moments where that real gospel, I began to understand one thing. You have been created to be saved. Wow. You've been created to be saved. Once that finally got through my thick noggin, you have been created to be what?
Saved.
Get that? You have been made to be made again by God. And I'm really hoping, I'm praying that we will wake up and just be the people of God that we're supposed to be in the city. I'm not asking you to spread tracts everywhere. I'm asking you to declare a changed life. Young people, I'm so thankful that you all are here at 11 o'clock. I want you to know, it warms my heart. I want you to know, because you all are here, I get to run my mouth during the week. Have you all heard how some people bash on the generation that's emerging? You know what's so funny? You know who's trying to criticize this generation? Hippies. You know what you call hippies now? Senior adults. They'd still have their ponytails, but it fell out. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Watch this. Our job is to not criticize the next generation. It's to encourage the next generation to declare a life in Christ. To declare a life in Christ. Today I want you to think about declaring a life in Christ. Now listen, I don't know where you are. You know what? Some of you come in here today and you feel pretty great about the week went on. Some of you are frustrated in this room because the same thing keeps happening over and over again. And that's real. That's real. Now I want to show you something. 40th Psalm. Go with me to the 40th Psalm. And I want you to get who wrote this. And I want you to understand the principle. I don't care where you are today. Some of y'all have had a great week. Some of y'all have had a lousy week. True or false? Guess what? Next Sunday, guess what I can say? Some of y'all had a great week and some of y'all had a what? So if you had a great week this week, your turn may be next week. Okay, everybody's going to get a turn. Amen? Everybody's going to be surprised. God does things in some really, really crazy ways. And I want you to get this. I want you to get this. No matter what's going on right now, God wins in the end. And if you lose focus of that, the devil will move you into places you never want to be. Can I say it one more time? Because it flew over some of your heads. I saw it. You didn't want to catch it. The devil doesn't want you to catch it. God is bigger than what is happening right now. Now, when you engage that truth, you will live like nobody else lives. You will live like nobody else lives. God is bigger than your problem because God is bigger than you. And most of the time, I am my greatest problem. How many of y'all could declare that is true? I'm just being very honest today. Not that I'm not honest every Sunday, but I want to get to the point, Brooks. Most of the problems I've had in life, I have caused them by not staying with what God made me to be. How many of y'all find that to be true in your life? Well, the guy who writes this is proclaimed in Scripture, David, a man after God's own heart. Now, I want to tell you something. I want you to be encouraged by this. It's something I learned in my own life. I've never met a man of great talent. Just never had that opportunity. In fact, in the third grade, I was the kid that nobody wanted on their kickball team. Because I had the capability of striking out at kickball. I was long, I was lanky, my feet grew before my body grew. I tripped over stuff. I wasn't cool. I wasn't one of those kids that came, you know, I really never connected, but you know, it happened. But I was that kid that, you know, you'd hear the other kids discussing, man, we got to take airs. You take him. No, you take him. You take him. And you know what? Y'all talk loud. But you know what I learned in my life? And I just want to share with you because I learned in my life, heart and passion always trumps talent. You better write that down. You say, Pastor Steve, no, it doesn't. Because right now, I don't see the victory. Heart and passion always trumps talent. Always. Now, it might not be right now. It might not be next week. It might not be next year. But you better listen to your preacher today. Heart and passion always trumps talent. If all you got's talent, it'll eventually waver. But if you got heart and passion, belief and faith, guess what? God will win out in your life before it's over. Don't forget that. I've seen it. I like to watch boxing. That's probably not a sport I ought to watch, you know, being a believer in Jesus Christ. But I like to see people get punched. And so I like boxing. And you know what? Here's what I want you to know. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, man, you got the spirit of Balboa in you. You know, bang, they're going to hit you. Bang, they're going to hit you again. Guess what? Talent may go. You may go four rounds on talent. But you know what? It takes heart and passion to go 15. And now let me tell you about God. He can go 16th round. When you're done and can't fight anymore, God will come in the final round and he'll say, hold on, neither one of you were big enough to take care of me. I am your God, I am the King, I am the victory, and I'm stepping in. I'm stepping in where nobody else can step. Now, how do I know this? Who's writing this psalm? You got to know the writer to know why the book sounds like it sounds. David is declared a man after what? God's talent, God's IQ, or God's what? Heart. Now, please, when I preach this, don't send an email to me saying, do I discard talent and intellect? Absolutely not. I'm just telling you they're not God. I'm telling you, if all you get from Western Kentucky University is a degree, then you didn't get a whole lot. You can get those online now. $19.95. $99.95, they'll send you a degree that says you're smart. Guess what? That means even less. If you embrace the heart and the passion of what it means to learn, then you will be able to succeed when things aren't going your way. Let me tell you what. You know there's a God. You know there's a God when it's not going your way. It's easy to stand up and give a speech as long as you're on top, isn't it? I've never heard this in athletics. I've never heard all the athletic Christians just step out of the microphone and say, you know, tonight we gave everything we can and we lost and we got beat real bad, but I want to declare the glory of God. I want to declare that God's been faithful even though it didn't go our way. How many of y'all can make that declaration this morning? Even when it doesn't go my way, God remains faithful. Man, that's real. That's where we live. That's where David lived. You know why? David knew what it meant to succeed with God. And guess what also King David knew? Was David's life without failure? Was he still a man of God's own heart? I didn't see God in the scripture go, David, you were a man after my heart until that Bathsheba thing, and then I wrote you off. How many of y'all realize David messed up politically? He lied about it too. He even plotted, and the sin of sexual immorality led to the sin of death. Does anybody know why that happens? The sin of sexual immorality always ends up in what? Y'all aren't saying that really loud. Y'all are really discouraging me here. I hope that when we get on these things, y'all be a little more vocal about them to at least give me a heads up to know this is going to get you. All married people, how many of y'all know this? If you have sex with somebody else's partner, that's going to cause a lot of problems. How many of y'all are aware of that? Please tell me you're aware of that. Apparently, a lot of people aren't aware of that because they keep showing up and they go, Preacher, I don't know why she's mad. It was just one time. Because it only takes one time. Ask King David. Ask Bathsheba. One time caused a lot of what? And that man, gosh, and we faked your all's generation out. We've told you it really doesn't matter. And when you're dead, you find out. It really mattered. We've told you it really doesn't matter and everything's open and negotiable. And when you end up in hell, guess what you'll find out? It mattered. And here's the problem. Oprah can't go get you out of hell. And all the great psychologists that bend all the rules of the Bible in a lot of ways in a lot of weird places, guess what? They can't go pull you out of hell. I do know who can get you out of hell. Pete, I know who is good for the gates of hell. I know who is not scared of where everything goes wrong. His name is Jesus. And here's how I know. I got to preach a little bit today. He will die for you. Now, Elizabeth loves me, but Elizabeth, I don't know if you'd die for me. You might back out at the last second. You might say, Lord, he's been a good man. Go ahead and take him. I've checked the insurance policies, Lord. He's good to go. Jesus wouldn't back out. Jesus wouldn't back out. And we love a lot of people, but guess what they'll do? They back out. Look at what David learned. Look at verse 4. Blessed is the man who puts his trust and who makes the Lord his trust. Trust in God. I'm going to invite you today to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask that you not step away from that message today. I'm going to ask that you just not go, well, I think Jesus is really cool. No, he ain't really cool. He's a Savior that will change your reality. See, we got to get down to this thing. Blessed is the person. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the human being. Who does what? Who makes the Lord his trust? who does not look to the proud and turn aside to what? False gods. Warning, warning, warning. I can promise you and declare in the name of Jesus, we as human beings will not save ourselves. We have not done it from the beginning of recorded human history. And only an absolute blind idiot can turn away the realm of human history that says we will not save ourselves. It's never happened and it will not happen again. But we're convinced we can. We're convinced that somehow or another we can change everybody's lives. And guess what we're going to find out? It costs a lot of money to try to produce human salvation. And at the end of human salvation, all you have is a sinner going to hell that feels a little better about the moment they've seen. Because I'm going to put my trust in God. Amen. I'm excited. I got a lot to be thankful for. I'm going to teach you all how to be thankful. If you're married and your spouse knows Jesus Christ, how many of y'all are thankful for that? Listen, and if you're married and you're not yet believing in Jesus Christ, man, I'm going to call you out lovingly today, man. I want you to know that Jesus has saved you. If I could jump inside of you, make you believe it, I'd jump inside of you and make you believe it, but it doesn't work that way. David said, I've learned to trust in God. Man, this is a leader that took it all. He got beat up on. He got messed with. He established a kingdom. If you really want to see how politics is done, I would encourage you to look at King David. Some of you are going to say, some of you that are astute go, he did not practice democracy. Absolutely. He practiced divine leadership. And through divine leadership, all the people prospered. So guess what? We got to do that in here. Through divine commitment and trusting to the Lord, we ought to prosper. Now, before you get too excited, I'm not saying you're getting a check in the mail. But I'm saying you need to understand no matter what's happening in the moment, you ought to know there's an eternal moment and God's going to bring you through there. David said, I've learned to trust in the Lord. Be careful. What's the matter with pride? What happens when you get proud? Here's what happens. Here's why you fall. You think you could do more than you really can do. How many of y'all have ever had a situation where you thought you could do more than you really could do? Anybody ever done that? What happened when you... I mean, one time I was up at Camp Joy and I was with these boys and we were doing a youth camp way back when I was younger and could actually jump. And I told them, I said, boys, I can do a flip off that diving board over at camp. And it was a low diving board, you know. And they said, you can't do a flip off. I said, y'all don't know who you're talking to. It's Steve Ayers. I said, I can get the height enough to do a flip off a diving board. Well, here I go. I bounce on the diving board. I stick it down in the water. In fact, when I hit the diving board, guess what I was realizing is the diving board was going down like this. There's a lot more boy on this diving board than used to be. And then my knees locked up like this. And all of a sudden, my feet start flying out from the end of the diving board. And thou hast landed on thy posterior and then flat on the back on the next to the board. And this is not a flip. To hit the back of the diving board and be face planted into the water. Now let me tell you what happens. When you gonna do it, guys, y'all listen to me. Y'all listen to me. Especially you males. Him and you listen to me. I'm giving you hope right here to never be a fool. Anytime you fixing to show off, I have found God will show you who He is. Anytime you fixing to show off, God will show you who you know what God showed me. Quit acting like you're young. You can't do that anymore. And then God told me you didn't do it that good even when you thought you could do it. I am God. It's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do in you. Somebody getting this today. Now, let me show you. What are you going to trust in today? David said, you ought to be thankful for what you trust in. Trust that God will change you. Trust that God will change those around you. You're going to hear this number until you get tired of hearing it. There's 85,496 unchurched people. We had a few come to the Lord this morning. There's 85 when we started. 85,000 unchurched people in Warren County this morning. We ought to, every time we meet, love, hang out, want to reduce that number. Y'all got? And so if y'all get tired of hearing about 85,000, you need to get it down to 35,000. You need to get it down to 20,000. You need to get it down to 10,000. We just need to get it done here and go on to Nashville. They got some lost people in Nashville. I know, I've hooked up with them. And guess what? We get through Nashville, you know, we'll swing on down, wherever. Memphis. There's a good project. God's glory needs to be declared. Y'all got my drift? He said he makes believers out of those who don't believe. Well, how does he do that? When people realize they're changed by God. David said, I'm going to trust in God. Who are you going to trust in today, church? Who are you going to trust in today? It'll take more than a banner to change you. It takes a living God. Look what he said. This is what God did. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. No one can recount to you. Where I too speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. I want you to look at something. Look at next to whoever's next to you. And I want you to make a pronouncement. You ready? Come on, look, turn your heads. Y'all look like Stone Cold Baptist sometime. Go ahead and turn your head. Or, you know, analytical Methodist. I don't know. Look at like this. You ready?
Yeah.
You are a wonder of God. What do you think about that? Now, you wives tell your husbands, I have married a wonder of God. I'm going to get up here where I can get some of that. Elizabeth, declare that. Now, some will trust in God and some will turn away to what's true. But that's the truth. Are y'all getting this today? You see, here's why y'all see me get frustrated sometimes. If we would wake up to God's reality in our lives, we have no idea what's going on. Now, I want to encourage some of y'all today, and I want you to get this. Don't listen to what they say. God's doing something in spite of what you're hearing. Did you get that? Don't listen to what they say. Why would I say that, church? Why would I say that today? Because they're not God. They're not God. I don't know why bad things happen, other than what? I know they do. But I also know that God will bring you through them. That makes sense? You say, Pastor, I can't understand it. I can't either. I can't understand it. Why you're so wonderful. I can't understand. Watch this. I'm going to tell you right now. I live with a mystery. How many of y'all live with mysteries? I have some of my real analytical friends. They go, man, Aris, you don't understand. I just don't understand it. I said, I don't understand how you married a woman that beautiful. Because I know you. I don't know how that happened. It's a what? Watch this. I can't understand how my kids turned out like they did. That's a mystery. I can't understand how Jesus Christ saved my soul. That's a mystery. But I'm sure not going to reject it just because I don't understand it. I don't understand how cute little 2-year-old girls can become 16-year-olds and be so different. I don't understand. It's a what? Mystery. But it's true. Let me wrap this up. I just really want to teach you today. I hope you hear this psalm. Declare Jesus. Declare what God may do. Know this. Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. My ears you have pierced. You have spoken, God, in such a way that I get it. How many of y'all need to hear, God, I get it? How many of y'all could say that to Jesus this morning? Jesus, I get it. You died for me. You love me. You've risen in me. I have hope. I have joy. I have peace. I have potential. Not because of what I've done, but what you will do in me. Hang in there. Hang in there. Day-day when they say it's that way, that doesn't make it so. Some of y'all believe CNN and MSNBC and Fox News more than you do God. You know why you hear it more than you do God? How many of y'all have let God pierce your ears? Not with earrings, but with truth. With truth. How many of y'all realize your salvation cannot be removed? You ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God that He saved you. How many of you even get this attitude? Well, God ought to save me. Why? Well, you don't understand, Pastor Steve. I'm really special. How many of y'all think you're really good? Sometimes, how many of y'all are just really not good? You've never been really good. Just, you got to declare, man, I'm not naturally good. I don't know about y'all, but left to my own devices, I do not choose God. How many of y'all that way? Or how many of y'all kind of modify it? You're kind of a Disney sinner. You know, as long as it looks good on the outside, it may be rotten on the inside, but good looking stuff on the outside will be all right. No, God says, I want to clean you up all the way and make you fit for heaven. That's pretty cool stuff. Amen. Declare His glory, His mystery. Look what He says to, He screams out. He screams out to God. I know burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. Note this. You can't be saved by you. Well, be thankful for this, but God's willing to save you. Does that make sense? God is. Not you are. Who is? God. How many of y'all believe God saved you from anything? Y'all believe that? All right. How many of y'all believe that in your head, but when you get into one of those things, you forget it? Why do we do that? If God said everything, it's what? Everything. Nothing left out. Even when they say it's wrong. So I want to pause there today, and I want to bring this testimony to you. You ready? God wants to do something great in you. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how good you are. In fact, one time there was this preacher. I don't know. He lived over, I don't know, probably the other side of Edmondson County, someplace like that. Lived down in a holler. They had the town person. How many of y'all have ever grown up in a town where everybody knows that one person? In a small town, how many of y'all had that guy? I mean, the one that drank, gambled, did everything. You just knew it was that guy. How many of y'all been that guy? No, I'm not. You don't have to raise your hand. But you know what I'm talking about? You that guy. Well, let's just call this guy Leroy. All right, for no other better name. And if there's a Leroy here, it's not you, okay? But old Leroy died, and the preacher came up. The preacher was poor, you know, just poor preacher. Didn't have any money. That's what it means to be poor. He didn't have no money. He's just poor. He's busted up. And so down at the funeral home, they put a wager on the preacher. They said, preacher, you know old Leroy, he good for nothing, drank all the time, ran women, gambled all the time, did everything he wasn't supposed to do. He said, preacher, we'll give you $100. That's a lot of money for a preacher. One of them Benjamins, one of them slick heads, all right? Y'all realize resting presidents got hair on their head, amen? You get to 100, it'll knock a hair off your head, all right? Look at here. And so... They said, preacher, we're going to bet you can't say one good thing about old Leroy. We'll give you $100 if you can. But you got to tell the truth. Well, the preacher stood up at his funeral and he said, everybody here knew Leroy. He drank all the time. He ran women. He wouldn't stay at home. He didn't take care of his children. He didn't honor the community. But I'm going to tell you what, compared to his brother, he's a saint. Now, isn't that the way we like to get saved? How many of you all always compare yourself to someone better than you? I know when I was trying to save myself, I would always say, Lord, you know Roy over here now. I ain't doing that. I know I'm doing this, but look, Roy's doing that. Or, you know, Jill's over here doing this, and I'm only doing this. Well, that's what God said. It's not about bringing your burnt offerings. It's about letting God change your burnt-up life. And then what do you got to do? You ready? Simply this. Challenge to believers today. Declare. What? Declare. I know Elizabeth and I several times have flown outside of this country. I'm always glad to have Elizabeth with me on trips where I'm outside the country. Because you all think I can mess America up. You ought to see me in another context. And you got to fill out all these forms to get in and out of countries. And I don't like to fill out forms. And when you're flying back into the country, you know, you've been to another country and you're flying into your home country. Guess what you have to do? Keith, you and I had to do this when we went to Costa Rica. We have to what? Declare what we received in that country. You know, if you bought something, you got to declare it, you know. Bought a piñata, 50 bucks, whatever. So I usually get Elizabeth to fill out the form. But when I come back into the country, I have to declare what I've received. How many of y'all are declaring on Monday what you received on Sunday? How many of y'all declaring the truth of the gospel when you hit those moments in life nobody wants to be in? Now I want you to leave with this today. God is always bigger than our moment. Pastor Steve, you said you don't understand. She's left. No, you don't understand. God's bigger than her. You don't understand, girl. See, Pastor Steve, you don't know he walked out. Who? God never walk out. Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I'm in trouble and they put me in jail. I want you to know that God is bigger than the jail. I want you to know that God is greater than what we can get messed up in. I want you to know that God can put back together what man sees as impossible. God knows possible. Where we've been written off by the world, God has written you in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, you know what I say in the name of Jesus? Go declare it. David says in this 40th Psalm, I will declare your righteousness, God. And so I just want to challenge us as a church. I think far too long we've been talking about our righteousness. Can I just be honest with you? Nobody wants to hear about that because they went to high school with you. They know you. They've heard you when your lawnmower didn't start. They've been real with you. But you know what? They want to hear what God can do. Amen. And so go tell them who your God is. Declare the great things of God. Amen. All right, I'm finished. Did this make sense today? Whatever's going on right now in this moment of time in our lives, here's what I want you to hear one more time. God is greater than this moment. Period. Chase and Lauren, guess what? Enjoy this moment. Guess why? You won't be a young couple forever. So you better be a young couple while you can. Look at Elizabeth. What's happened to her? See what I'm saying? She's full of glory. She's been married so long. She looks a lot better than me. Y'all ought to be having compassion for me. Y'all know what happens in life. What happens in life? It's real simple. Now, a lot of y'all are young in here, and y'all don't believe me, and guess what? I can't make you believe me. But a lot of y'all ain't so young. Brooks, let me ask you a question. Brooks, now if y'all will get this verse, you'll understand life. What used to stand up, you know, strong and bold, and I thought was so important in my youth, crumbles as I age. Have y'all noticed that? Brooks, you play your radio real loud. Follow me, Brooks. Don't mess up my illustration here, all right? Brooks, did you play the radio real loud when you were 16?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean loud. Did you ever have to say, Brooks, turn the radio down? Yeah. He probably didn't say it like that, but it's similar. That was his point. All of a sudden, the radio's not turned up anymore. Why? It's not that important to be noticed. It's interesting. I see males go through a phase, you know. We went through the speaker phase. There were speakers and the back of the, you know, vehicle was booming out. And of course, I couldn't say anything because when Blake was being born, Elizabeth was pregnant and we were 12 hours away from actually me being a father. I was installing subwoofers in my four-wheel drive 4Runner Toyota so that when I went to the lake and was backing it down the ramp, every two-day-old baby needs to have a little thump in them. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm surprised that my children have turned out like they have. Back when I first held Blake, here he was. I told you all what he looked like. I've told you that. And I had a do-rag on my head with a tank top and my flip-top flops. It was ski season. And I looked in the mirror and go, "You're a father?" But guess what? I really didn't know what it meant to be a father at that exact moment that I received a child. But guess what? I told you, God's always greater than the moment. And God knew how to make me a father down the line. You see, trust God and things will go well. Amen. I thank you all for being here today. I thank you for loving Jesus. I thank you for Jesus bringing you here today. And right now I'm going to ask you to stand up because we love you. And I want to give you an opportunity to be a part. It's the call to be a part. Some of you guys just need to be healed today, okay? Sorry. Some of you need to come and believe in Jesus for the first time. Now hear me. This is what we believe the Bible teaches. This is not what Hillview Heights Church teaches. It's what the Bible teaches. The way to salvation, which would be heaven, which is connection with God, is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. First realization, you and I are sinners. How many of y'all realize that? So you got to be forgiven. Jesus is God's Son, mystery. Born of a virgin, mystery, crucified on a cross, y'all are good. Risen 3 days later, you and I connected to heaven forever, but it's a true one. So I'm going to invite you to be saved today. If you've never been baptized, I'm going to ask you to come and be baptized today. Amen? Amen? Some of y'all need to be healed today. Come and be healed today, all right? Some of you all who believe it's all over. Here's what I'm praying for. JT, what have you learned this year? Is it ever all over? You didn't believe that last year. Let's be honest, you didn't. What have you started to learn this year? It's never over. You learn that? You learn that at 15, 16, 17? You'll get it on. You'll have a life full and abundant. It's not over. Jesus loves you today. It hasn't ended. God wants to save you today. It's not over. Just say that with me. It's not over. Some of y'all need to hear that. Life's going to go on. So I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I hope we've made sense along the way today. May you be magnified like we've sung. God, I thank you for these beautiful young people that you bring to this church. Because I am thoroughly convinced you're raising up a generation, in spite of what everybody thinks, you're going to do something greater than anybody's seen. So God, I just pray right now for anybody in this room that's never asked you into their lives, that Lord, you really brought them here today to be saved. And so if that's you, why don't you ask Him? Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned, and Lord Jesus, I need to believe. Lord Jesus, come into my life, and Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I love you, who? Jesus. You know what He's going to do? He's going to save you, folks. He will save you, my friend. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Save me of my sin. He'll save you. Tell Him you know He died, and you believe He's risen. Invite Him into your life and see what happens. This altar's open for you to receive Christ. This altar is open for you to come and say, you know what? I'm a believer in Jesus. I know He's in my life, and I'm going to be obedient to baptism. Obedient to baptism. Doing what God asked me to do. Come on, church. Today, don't let it stay away. Amen. Don't step away today. Please don't step away. But let God touch you and heal you and love you. Some of you may just need a prayer of encouragement. You may come and say, Pastor, I'm a believer. I know I've been saved. I know I've been baptized. But I need to know. I just need to be reminded of who's got a hold of me. God. God. So, Lord, I just want to release the prayer that all things are possible and that we might really embrace that. We might understand that. We might live in that. Lord, heal folk where they need to be healed. Where they've heard things that are just outright lies, I pray that you just share the truth with them right now. God, I pray you do something in this moment we hadn't seen in a long time. I pray that you just heal folks. You let people know they are loved. And God, you just release them in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. We want to pray with you. We want to love you. We want you to know that God loves you. We want you to know that God heals you. I might need some elders here with me to help us pray over folks. If that's okay, Billy. Might need y'all to come pray. Come on, church. Come on. This altar is Jesus' altar. Let him have it. Let him have it.